Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
How many of you enjoy receiving gifts? Yep, pretty much everybody. I love receiving gifts. Well, as long as they're useful to me. You know how sometimes you get these gifts and it's like, oh, what am I going to do with this one? But I think my first year in university was the time that I received the best gift ever. I'm dating myself by telling you this, but I didn't have a computer when I first started university. In fact, most of my friends didn't. They were machines that were rapidly becoming part of our society, and they were also quite expensive at the time. So we had to justify spending so much money on them. So my task was convincing my parents that I really needed this computer. And so I did what every teenager did. I kept asking. I didn't think that I would get through it, though, because I didn't think I would get it because it was really expensive. And I guess, you know, my parents didn't have a lot of extra money in those days. So one afternoon, it was about a week before Christmas, I was at home with one of my friends, and all of a sudden the phone rang. And so I answered the phone, and there's a guy on the phone, and he says, yeah, this is Avalon Computer calling, and we just want to let you know that your machine's ready to be picked up. I'm like, oh. And I'm kind of like thinking, they really got it for me? And so I'm like doing a happy dance inside. It's like, wow, this is awesome. And so I composed myself and I said, okay, thank you. Somebody will be by to pick it up. And so then I had to decide, am I going to let my parents know that the guy called and ruined their Christmas surprise? Or am I going to just forget about it and pretend to be surprised on Christmas morning? So I decided I was going to be surprised on Christmas morning. And so my parents came out, you know, and of course that was the last gift they brought out because, you know, this is the big surprise. And they didn't even put it under the tree because they didn't want me to see the boxes. So they brought it out and gave it to me. And I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. And like, all surprised and everything. And then afterwards I told my mom, yeah, about a week ago, a guy called and told me that you guys were picking this up. So sorry. And she wasn't too impressed with the guy. You see, all my parents wanted was to provide me with a gift that was needed. It was needed to help me with my schoolwork, but it not only helped me, but it helped our family for years to come as we were able to network and communicate with different people, even different people all over the world because of that. My parents know how to give good gifts, things that matter and are helpful, not only for me, but to help us in our relationships with other people. So today we're going to talk about the Spirit as gift giver, and how using these special abilities in the right way can make us stronger. My phone number is at the top of the screen. If you have any questions pertaining to the message, you can feel free to text me, and we'll try and get to those before we leave today. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and 2 weeks ago, Fred introduced us to the person of the Holy Spirit, and he talked about different characteristics of the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible that we can see. And then at the very end, he invited us to hear from the Holy Spirit. So do you remember that if you were here, that we just paused at the end? And maybe God spoke something profound to some of you that day. And maybe that was the first time that he'd spoken to some of you. But that's something that you can even continue to practice at home during the week. You don't have to wait and do it at the end of a service here. Then last week, Judah talked to us about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and how the closer we get to Jesus, the more we get to know the Holy Spirit. And we rely on him, and he empowers us and helps us to do things that we otherwise wouldn't be able to do in our own strength. The more we recognize that everything we do in life should be dependent on God, we begin to worship Jesus more, and we rely on him, and we ask him to do more than we can even imagine in our own strength. Then the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, gives us strength and power and boldness, and helps us to be effective in his mission to reach other people with the gospel. So today we're going to talk about spiritual gifts, and specifically how they help in bodybuilding. And if we want to build a body that's strong and powerful, we need to work together in community, and we need to make love our highest value. So I want you to remember what this phrase that I'm going to say now. Special abilities that the Spirit gives plus love equals a strong and powerful church. So maybe you might want to take out your mobile device or your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to get to We're going to read something from there in a few moments, but just so you have it marked. If you go to crosslands.live, you'll see that there's a button there that says Sunday Message. There's some questions there that I've prepared that you can take a look at this week if you want to apply this a little farther. And, don't keep it to yourself. Have a discussion with somebody else about it as well. I also want to mention that the announcement that we had about the Deeper Foundations Discipleship Group, we're going to be doing that next Sunday. We're just going to be waiting for a time for more people to decide if they're going to come, so we'll have a bigger mass of people to be able to start all at once. So that'll be next Sunday, Theater 2 at 11:15. So what is a spiritual gift? I've looked up different definitions, and here's what I've come up with. Spiritual gifts are special abilities given to all Christ followers by the Holy Spirit to build up the church and to enable the church to move forward in its mission of telling non-believers about Jesus. So when we talk about bodybuilding, we're talking about the church as the body of Christ. And so today we can refer this to Crosslands Church, that this us together here as a body, and then people who are coming in the second service, we're all a body together, that we work together to make this happen. And we'll see in the New Testament that Paul gives us a list of spiritual gifts on four different occasions, and you'll see it on the screen here. So what I'd invite you to do is take a photo of this so that you can look at it later. I'm not going to go into detail on all these different spiritual gifts today because that would take our whole time, and we want to talk about some bodybuilding today with this. But you can see Romans 12, 6 to 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, 1 Corinthians 12, 28 to 30, and Ephesians 4, 11 to 12. And if you kind of want an overview of the spiritual gifts, if you want to read 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14, that will just kind of give you a good overview of what Paul is saying about spiritual gifts in the Corinthian church. And so as you can see on the screen there, there's like 18 or 19 different gifts that are given there. And there's different opinions on whether this is an exhaustive list or whether there's some others. So I've put these all together, and if you look at these four different references, you'll see that some of them are repeated in different places and some of them are unique to just one area. If you have any questions about any of them, feel free to ask. We're here to answer questions, not just when you text us on a Sunday morning. So feel free to ask, you email or call, or you have my number there. You can text me through the week, too, if you want. So we've talked about what a spiritual gift is. So what is a spiritual gift not? It's not a natural ability or talent. So talents are abilities we were either born with or because of the environment we grew up in, we became talented in those areas. I'm thinking of things like playing an instrument or playing sports, fixing and tinkering with things. Maybe you have an eye for design, gardening, and there's a whole bunch of different things. And so these are the talents that we were most likely born with, or it's kind of in us to do these things. Spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit when we decide to become a follower of Jesus. So maybe you're wondering, I feel like, I have this thing that's a natural talent, but is it also a spiritual gift? And that's a good question because I think that, I think there is some intertwining there. I'm going to give you this example. Wade was up here, he was playing his guitar this morning. He has a natural ability to play guitar and play for music in general. And so playing and singing, so he's here on a Sunday morning, and when he leads us in worship, he doesn't just come and, play the song and sing. And if he did that, it would be a fantastic performance. But Wade, before he comes through the week, he's praying. He's praying that the Holy Spirit would be with him and that the Holy Spirit would lead him and guide him as he's leading us in worship. And so he's taken that natural ability, and because he's praying to and asking the Holy Spirit to be with him, that natural ability is enhanced. And he's also being able to use the gifts of leadership, the gifts of exhortation and encouraging us in worship and inviting us to just enter the presence of God as we're singing. And so that's just one example of how that could be intertwined. So God can take a natural ability and enhance it because of the spiritual gifts that he gives us. The second thing is that the fruit of the Spirit is not the same as spiritual gifts. Now, Judah talked about spiritual gifts, or about the fruit of the Spirit last week as well, and he mentioned some kind of song, and you know what? I didn't hear the song, so I'm not singing it for you either. I've put the verse up on the screen, and it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So what's the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit? Can't we just kind of group them all together? Well, there is a similarity in that both the fruit and the gifts are available to us when we become followers of Christ. So when we decide that we want to follow Jesus and the Holy Spirit becomes part of our life, well, then these things are all available to all of us. The fruit of the Spirit is a general characteristic, we'll call it, that's available to all Christians. And all of the fruit are available to all of us. So I guess as our goal as Christians, we want to become more like Jesus. Jesus had all the fruit of the Spirit, and our goal is to try and become more like him. So we want to try and attain that as well. We want to try and put all these 9 characteristics and have those as part of our life and part of our daily living. And those are the things that define us as Christians. But we can't do that on our own strength. We have to ask for the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to attain to that. And then the spiritual gifts, on the other hand, is unique to different individuals. So the spiritual gifts are available for all of us, but we don't all possess the same gifts. So somebody might have a gift of a word of knowledge, and somebody else over here might have a gift of leadership. And so there's all these different gifts that are available, but we don't all have the same ones. And we don't have to all have to have the same ones. And that's a good thing. Because if we all had the same gifts, then we'd probably be a little disjointed. In bodybuilding, if we only worked at one side of our body, you know, if we were lifting weights like this, well, then this side would kind of be down like this, and we wouldn't be feeling too great on the right side, or what looks like your left side. We need to make sure both sides are in balance, and that's why it's important that the gifts are distributed evenly among everybody. So that brings us to 1 Corinthians. In verse 2, Paul reminded the Corinthians that before they came to Jesus, they were caught up in worshiping speechless or dead idols, things that had no power at all. Corinth in that day was known as the largest city in Greece, and most shipping was done through Corinth, and because goods were traveling to and from Rome, and Corinth was kind of a stopping point along the way. Paul had already taught the Corinthians the truth about Jesus and how they should live as followers of Christ. And the Corinthians who Paul was writing to, they're already followers, but they had departed from the teaching that they'd previously received about Jesus and the orderly conduct that should be among Christians. And they decided to follow their own social thoughts because they seemed to make more sense. I think that we kind of do that too sometimes. It's easy for us to listen to the news and social media and the lyrics of songs and kind of develop what we think, well, this is what our value system should be. And I think sometimes without even realizing, we take on those things and they just become part of our minds because we hear them so often. It's very easy for us to fix our thoughts on thinking of God as some person who's out there somewhere controlling the universe when, in fact, we're forgetting that there's actually power in the name of Jesus. He's not just somebody who's out there. He's here with us, and there's power in his name. Jesus promised as he was ascending into heaven that a comforter would come, and that's the Holy Spirit that comes. And in Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Friends, we don't have to rely on our own social thoughts or our own intuition to be able to live as a Christ follower. If you do, that's pretty exhausting to try and do that and to live a Christian life on your own. But there's a power that's available to all of us in the person of the Holy Spirit that will help us when we don't know what to do. He will lead us and guide us into all truth. Also, the Corinthians were not conducting themselves properly when it came to things like communion and the order of their worship services. If you look at 1 Corinthians 11, It talks about communion. And the reason that that's there is because the Corinthian church, they had learned how to take communion, and they learned that the bread was a symbol of the body of Christ that was broken when he died on the cross, and then that the blood was the shed blood of Jesus. And that we're supposed to remember that. But what they were doing, they were coming, and the people who were coming early, they were coming hungry, so they were eating all the bread, so there wasn't enough bread left for everybody. And then the people who were, they would start drinking and it was wine that they had, and then they would end up getting drunk on the wine. So they were basically making a mockery of the whole communion experience, because the whole point of communion is that we're coming together as a group of believers and we're remembering what it is that Jesus did for us. And so Paul was wanting to correct that for them. The other thing that they seemed to have problems with was the way that the order of their services. Oftentimes in our services, we'll have somebody who kind of comes and waits here at the front after worship and gets the attention of Fred or Wade or somebody. And then they'll be invited up to the stage and they'll have a word that they speak to us. So it's called them having the gift of prophecy. And so what that means is that, you know, they've been sitting here during worship and then they sense God's presence and they sense that God is speaking something to them. And it's likely weighing so heavy on them that they realize that this is not just for me, but this is for the whole church. So I have to get this out. I have to tell this to everybody. And so they come, but they don't just march up on stage and take the mic in the middle of worship. No, they wait for a moment when we've paused, and then when the pastor says, okay, it's okay to come. And so that wasn't happening in the Corinthian church. There was somebody speaking over here, and before they were finished, somebody was interrupting over here, and somebody was interrupting over here. But God's a God of order, and I like that. And he wants to make sure that things are done correctly. And so Paul was encouraging them to make sure that you're keeping in mind that this is not just about what you think that should be said, but this is about what the Holy Spirit is speaking, and he's not just speaking to you through you, but there's other people. So if you're speaking, don't speak too long if there's somebody else waiting and God is speaking to them too. And so, you know, maybe, and only two or three people at a time, that's good. And so Paul is just correcting them on some of these things. And I guess we all need to be corrected sometimes, because if we left it to our own way of thinking and, like the Corinthians, their own social thoughts, then there would be chaos. So the real problem that Corinth had is that they had the spiritual gifts, but they weren't using them to build each other up. Their bodybuilding was giving them floppy muscles instead of making them stronger. So the special abilities given by the Holy Spirit, plus, what did we say earlier? Do you remember it? Love. Okay, somebody got it. So the spiritual abilities given by the Holy Spirit, which we said that's the spiritual gifts, plus love, that equals a strong and powerful church, an unstoppable church. So if we actually go to verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, I'm just going to read a few verses here. Verse 7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To the one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Aside from listing the different gifts that are there, and some of these are the ones that we had on the screen earlier, there's three truths we can learn from this passage. The first one is that spiritual gifts are given to each of us. As I was thinking about this, I thought of on Oprah, where there's a gift for you, and there's a gift for you, and there's a gift for you, and everybody gets a gift. Do you guys remember that? It was like, woo! Yes. Well, it's a little more serious than that. But you know what? There's a spiritual gift for you, and there's a spiritual gift for you, and there's a spiritual gift for you, and everybody gets a spiritual gift. So why does it affect me? Why do I even need these spiritual gifts? Because if you're part of the body, if you're part of the church, we need you. If you don't receive the gifts given to you, and you don't allow God's Spirit to work through you, then not only are you missing out, but we're missing out. Because we're missing out in working with you and doing things together to make the kingdom of God advance farther in this community and in our world. The second thing that I want us to notice is that the spiritual gifts help us help each other. We mentioned this before. If we were all given the same spiritual gifts, we would all be in competition with each other, and there would end up being chaos. And we wouldn't really get anything done, and we would suffer for it. A couple of weeks ago, we held an event at our church called Brave, and Fred talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You may have heard various people in our church talk about this who were involved in some way. And this is an event that we'd been planning for about a year, and it's an empowerment event for young girls, and so it lets them know that they're valuable, they have purpose, they're worth it. And in the big picture, it's to prevent human trafficking so that it encourages them with positive messages of self-esteem and self-worth so that they don't feel that they have to go looking somewhere else for love and acceptance. So that day, as the girls entered the building, and it's actually started in the parking lot, they were greeted with an amazing team of volunteers who were just smiling and waving and had signs that had like welcoming messages and just such positive things to say to them as they were coming in. And then the decor was just wow as they were coming in. So they're just entering, and all of a sudden they're just hit in the face with this wonderful decor and the different things, and then they walk in and they get some food, and they were greeted by another team of volunteers. And then they entered the main theater here, and then they were involved. It was like a couple of hours of things like speakers and games and prizes and self-defense. There was a painter, a dancer, a songwriter. And so all of this came together. Then they had a break, and then they had some different workshops and hair and nail stations, some crafts, and so many things that it's like, well, who wouldn't want to come to that as a girl? It was just so awesome. But that event didn't come together on its own. It took hundreds of hours to prepare, and it took a team of people to make it happen. And for about a year, there was a team of people. There were 5 people from our church, and there were 3 people from 2 other churches in York Region. And we came together about once a month, and we were planning and just praying over this event. That it was an event that we couldn't, because of working with CAS, we couldn't even really talk about God. But we prayed so much that, you know what, as people came in, I'm sure that God's presence was sensed, and that there was a sense of peace as people came in. So why am I telling you all this? It's not just to promote Brave. It's because I want to make sure that you know that this didn't just happen. It's a team of people that made it happen. And the neat thing is that some of these people had never been involved in planning an event so this big before. There were people who they discovered that they had abilities in leadership. Other people discovered that they had administrative gifts that they didn't know they had. Other people were able to encourage and provide hospitality. And there were people who were here and they were praying and they were interceding for the event in the background. And so there was people who came in even like the day before or something if they couldn't be here that day. So all these things happening. And that event would not have happened had the team not been there and not been open to the Holy Spirit coming and helping them to use their gifts and work together to make this happen. So the Holy Spirit gives us the ability. We work together in unity, and we look outside of ourselves to help others, and the result is that lives are changed. The third thing we want to look at is that the Spirit is the gift giver, and only He decides which gifts we receive. God knows us so well, and He knows what we need, and He knows what other people need. And if we're left to ourselves to decide, chaos would result, because, as I just mentioned before, we would all want the same gifts. But I want you to know that there's no levels to Christianity. There's no gifts that are better than others, even though we may see it that way. And I think sometimes it's because some of it is more of a public ministry. And so we think that, you know, well, what that person is up there and they're in front on a Sunday morning, they sing on the worship team. And, you know, that's such a big thing that they do. Why can't I do that? Why can't I be seen like everybody else? But that's not what it's about. If you think that way, if you think that because what you do for God or what God is asking you to do is something that's not up in front, it's no less important. Verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that the parts of the body which appear to be weaker are actually the most indispensable. So this reminds me of the story in Matthew and again in Mark, so that both of them have this, where James and John wanted to sit at Jesus' right hand and his left hand in heaven. So they said to Jesus, when we get to heaven, one of us is going to sit at your right hand and the other one's going to sit at your left hand. And because to them, that was the place of highest honor. And, you know, you can't get any closer to Jesus than that. So, of course, then the other 10 disciples are like, well, what's with that? Jesus, are you going to allow that? And so So then Jesus said, and his response is so like Jesus. He said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, or Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's found in Mark 10, 43 to 45, if you want to look that up. So with Jesus, the kingdom is kind of turned upside down. What we think is great and powerful in society is not necessarily the case in Jesus' eyes. So if you have ever thought that what you do for Jesus is any less important than what somebody else does, or you wish that you were given the abilities that somebody else has, let me assure you today that God, through the Holy Spirit, has given you all that you need to be who he wants you to be. And I would encourage you today to talk to him about it. Ask him how you can use those divine abilities that he has given you to best serve him. Now, on the other hand, if you've ever thought that what you do is more important than what somebody else does, then I hate to burst the bubble around your head, but there's no room for any kind of elitism in the family of God. We're all equal when we come to Jesus. And that's so freeing today, isn't it, to know that? And so we just thank him for that. The other thing I want us to remember before we go today is that if we look at the gifts in the right way, love has to be at the center. And we understand them a whole lot better that way. There's no competition. There's no sitting back and letting somebody else do all the work. If you ever wondered why the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, is smack in the middle of all this talk about the gifts, we usually hear 1 Corinthians 13 right at weddings. And so if you look at it in the context in which it's in Corinthians, it's actually not about romantic love at all, but it's about having love when we deal with all these gifts and the building of the body. So the reason for it to be there is that we all have the gifts that are available, but if we don't use them with love, they would mean nothing and they would be worthless. They would be powerless. So it's important to realize that the Christian life is not just about me as an individual. Just as the early church was about doing life together, that's God's design for us today as well. Our society makes it seem like it's all about me, and you know, sometimes we tend to isolate ourselves, but that's not God's design for us. His design is that we would be together and we would work together. He never intended for us to do it alone. His desire is that rather than looking for what I'm going to get out of using my gifts, that we would look at it from this perspective. How can using the gifts that God has given me benefit all of us? And how much more would Jesus be honored and praised if we do that? And the other thing is, what will we all be missing out on if I don't discover and use my gifts that God's given me? So let's remember this. The special abilities given by the Holy Spirit plus love equals a powerful church, an unstoppable force. Isn't that the kind of church you want to be part of? Yes. Yep. So let's see if we have any text messages. Sorry, they're just coming in here. I can't read because they're coming in at the top of my screen. If gifts should be useful, such as your computer, does it mean other gifts now have no value? So I think we have to clarify the gifts that are kind of monetary gifts are different than the gifts that the Spirit gives. The gifts that the Spirit gives are things that are powerful because it's the Holy Spirit that's giving them. When the Holy Spirit is involved, there's a word for power in the New Testament that's called dunamis, and that's where we get the word dynamite. So that kind of gives you an impression, like dynamite, it's powerful. And so when we're looking at the gifts of the Spirit, we need to look at the fact that this is something that has power, and that that God is involved, the Holy Spirit is involved to empower us to do something. What if you have ever felt in life that you don't have that natural ability? If you've never felt that way, I think that that's something that we need to pray about and we need to ask God about. And God is with us, and He can strengthen us and He can help us as we give those things to Him. And sometimes that takes practice. Sometimes, you know, we especially if we're a new follower of Jesus, we don't always understand how to pray. And understand how to hear from God. But that comes with practice. And so I'd invite you to pray about that. Pray about what your abilities are and pray about how God can take the things that maybe you don't even understand about yourself and that He'll reveal those to you. How do we find out what our specific spiritual gifts are? Yeah, I didn't really touch on this too much, and a lot of it was because of time today. As you can tell, this is a big topic, and I think we're getting close to the end of the time today. So what I would suggest to you is there's in the message notes that we have at crosslands.live, I did ask a few questions there that kind of helps you with that, and I'll just kind of briefly mention it. Look at things like what are you passionate about, and what things. And I don't just mean because you're passionate about some world event that's happening or some social justice issue, and maybe that might have something to do with it. But look at what your passions are and ask prayerfully about to God. Pray prayerfully to God about what it is that He would want you to be involved in, and then. Think about, well, am I able to do those things? Do I have the ability to accomplish what it takes to be able to do something about that? And then maybe ask somebody that you trust, somebody who knows you really well. This is what I'm thinking. Do you think that I have the abilities to be able to do this? And can you help me define what these abilities are that we have? And then a third thing is that, is there an opportunity available for you to be involved with that? Because sometimes we have things, and you know, I think that my spiritual gift is this, but there might be three other people already doing this, but there's something over here that you haven't discovered that you have an ability to do, that God needs you for that. So it might be that you have to kind of put aside the thing that you think that you really want to do, because God really needs you to do something over here. I hope that... that's a little bit of clarification. I'm also thinking that Fred's doing kind of a wrap-up of the series next week, and so I'm hoping that he'll kind of give a little more explanation in applying all of these things next week. How can we ensure we are actively practicing our spiritual gifts in our daily lives? Oh, and then they're asking, what are my spiritual gifts and how am I using them? So another thing that some people do is they go to, there's spiritual gifts inventories or like a questionnaire that you can kind of do and you answer, and then it kind of tells you the different gifts that point out. There's a couple of them online. If you Google spiritual gifts test or spiritual gifts inventory, I didn't really mention it too much because some of them, it almost seems like it's more based on your natural abilities rather than your spiritual gifts. And so if you want to take one of those, go ahead and do it. It might give you a better idea of what it is to be praying about. So I think spiritualgifts.com, I believe that's one of them. Just beware if you do go to it. It might send you emails afterwards, so you might have to unsubscribe. That's what it did with me. I did find it very good. There's another one by Lifeway. You might be familiar with that if you've done Beth Moore studies or Priscilla Schreier. That company, they have a decent one as well. And then, I don't think I answered the first part of that. How can we ensure that we're actively practicing our spiritual gifts in our daily lives? And I think that that's, again, being prayerful about it and just knowing what it is that God is asking us to do, because a lot of times we can kind of forget to talk to God about things, and we can forget to ask for his help in our daily lives because of all the busyness that we're going through. But I think it's important for us to take that time and to talk with him and talk with people you trust, talk with leaders in the church who you work with, and to help develop those things and to be able to use them through your daily lives. Can you put up the slide before do not forget love? So Erica, maybe can you put that one up where it says don't forget love? Where it talks about 1 Corinthians 13, the don't forget love. I think that's the one they're asking about. As a new Christian, how do I know I have a spiritual gift? Does it take someone else to tell me? And you know what? Sometimes we can learn from other people's what our gifts are, because if somebody is telling you, hey, you did really well with that, well, then that might be an indication that that's something that I need to explore a little more, and that's something I need to find out and need to talk to God about, whether that's something that I can be involved in. We have lots of text messages today. Usually I don't have any when I speak, and now they're all coming today. Fantastic message. Thank you. For the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit gives gifts, can we ask for them? Absolutely. We can ask God, because you know what? Sometimes I think we have them, but we don't realize that we have them. And sometimes it's not until we actually put ourselves out there and get involved that we realize that we have those specific gifts. I know I didn't. I was always and I'm gone over time this morning. I apologize for that. I'm the type of person that before I became a Christian, or before I really started looking at what Jesus wanted in my life, I was really shy, and so I wasn't the person at all to get up here and talk to you and answer questions off the top of my head. But it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that God's been working in my life, and He brought good people around me to help me to discover my gifts. And the Holy Spirit helped me just discover what it is that he wants me to do. And so I think I forgot to answer the one earlier about what my gifts are. So the things that usually come out for me are administration, and part of that I think is a natural ability and that I've learned over time, but I think I really do think that that's something that the Holy Spirit helps me with. Giving is another one of mine, and mercy sometimes comes out there a little bit. So there's different some of those different gifts that come out. And so I'm very thankful for the way that God has worked in my life. Before we close today, there's just one other group of people, and why don't we just all stand? I talked about that the spiritual gifts are available for those of you who have decided to follow Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you're saying that I haven't decided that I want to follow Jesus, but maybe this is something that I might want to look at. And so I just want to let you know that this can be for you too. And if you want to experience Jesus and his love and his forgiveness in your life, then tell him. Just talk to him. Just tell him, God, I want to experience not only the spiritual gifts, but I want to experience all that you have for me. And so if you do that, I want you to let us know. You can go to crosslands.live and you can click on the Follow Christ or Follow Jesus button. And then just fill out the information and let us know, and we'll help you with your next steps. After I pray, Theater One's going to become a prayer room. So I'd invite you, if this is something that you want to pray more and you want to talk about to God, just stay. Stay for even for 5 minutes today and talk to God about that. So let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your presence with us today. Thank you for this, for your Holy Spirit, and God, how your Holy Spirit works and moves in our lives. And God, sometimes there's a bit of a cloud when it comes to the Holy Spirit, and we're not really sure. We have a lot of questions. So God, right now I pray for your power to work in our lives, that there would just be understanding. And that, Lord, you would just help us to have a desire to know you more and to explore more what it is that you would have us to do. and the way that you work in our lives. God, we're so grateful for all that you've done, and we ask that you would go before us and that you would walk with us through this week. In your name, amen. Have a good week.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.